Greetings and welcome to TIU Radio. Today's date is the 30th of June 2009, Tuesday. I'm your host, Ogner, and we have an excellent guest coming on. This guest is a well-known writer. He was even Airman of the Year when he served in Thailand, going back all these years. He served the U.S. Air Force. Prolific writer, prolific thinker, a man of the cloth. Started his own ministries, which is called Power of Prophecy. I could go on for a long, long time on an introduction, but I'd rather bring him straight up. Tex Mars, how are you doing?
Ogner, I'm doing just great, and I've heard so much about you and heard some of your really insightful radio programs, so I'm delighted to be your guest today and share with your audience.
Well, Tex, you know, I've been looking forward to having you on, and I know you're a very busy man. You have a lot of stuff. I have you on, which is, you know, great. I was introduced to you, to your work, about 5 years ago to our good buddy Scotty over in Arizona, Christian truth seeker, one of our members of our forums, theinfounderground.com. He's an administrator, and he's an ardent anti-Zionist, not an anti-Semite like the rest of us, as we are. So I just was reading your bio text on different Wikipedias, and they always like to add in this little anti-Semite at the end somewhere, which we know that we're not. I would like to start off, text, if you could give us a little bit about what I mean. You wrote a lot of non-fiction books. You're in the army, and then always from what my research is in 1987, from a quick chat I had with you last week, you found Jesus Christ and God, and you were put on a different path, and along this path you've come across Zionism and the evils of it. Can you give us a little bit of background? A lot of people know Tex Mars and the audios. I didn't know your background. You know, how did you get, what was the tilting moment, Tex, in your life?
Well, Ogner, you are right. I was actually in the U.S. Air Force for over 20 years. I retired in 1982 as an officer, having really had the blessing of going around the world, to Vietnam, to Thailand. I spent 2 years in Germany, a year in Italy. So really a world traveler in Air Force blue uniform. I taught at the University of Texas in Austin for 5 years. I've taught political science, American government. In 1987, my wife Wanda and I did found a Christian ministry. Now, the interesting thing about, talking about Jews and Israel, Zionism, is that I was raised, like many Christian evangelicals, to believe that the Jews were God's chosen people. That they were superior to all other races, that they would forever be God's chosen people, and basically that whatever they did was okay, whether it was murder, rape, plunder. Those exact words were never taught to me, but that was really the underlying thing. We were also taught, as a Christian evangelical, I'm talking about Pentecostals, Baptists, we were basically taught that the people of Israel would someday rule the whole world. Of course, none of this is in the Bible. I didn't realize that at the time. Now, when I became truly dedicated to Christ, then I began to read the Bible for myself. Now, remember this. I had never been done wrong by Jews. I had no hatred toward Jews. I didn't even realize there was a Jewish Zionist problem. But as I read the Bible, I discovered that everything that these people had told me was absolutely a lie, and that there were huge sections of the Bible passages that they totally omitted. They tried to remove these things from the Bible. And entire books of the Bible will not be taught. Now, since then, founding my Christian ministry, Ogner, I was again blessed because God allowed me. I authored a number of Christian books, as you know. And three of those books went to the very top of the Christian bestsellers list.
Absolutely, yeah.
To number one. Now, this allowed me then, you might say, to hobnob with all the Christian leaders. I mean, 700 Club, you know, Robertson's organization was calling me, inviting me. Paul and Jan Crouch of out in California, the largest Christian network, PTL, invited me. I went everywhere and talked to all these people. Hal Lindsey invited me a number of times on his radio program. Had the opportunity to meet him, of course, in person many times. So as I talked with these people, I discovered something quite shocking, though. They actually had no answers to the most vital questions of Israel. They were parroting things they had learned in their seminaries from back in the Schofield, Cyrus Schofield Bible Commentary. They had no real belief in the Bible. And when I asked them, for example, Ogner,
yeah,
when I asked a man who had a ministry called Friends to Israel, all right? Friends to Israel. I asked him, what does the Bible mean when it says in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 that in the last days the most wicked and evil force on earth, one that will persecute Christians and bring death and bloodshed to the whole world, is the synagogue of Satan?
Yeah, well,
now these people, this man looked at me with blank eyes. And he said, oh, don't go there. We cannot discuss that. Nobody understands that verse, he told me. But I said, I understand it. It says the synagogue of Satan. Well, and it talks about those who say they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan.
Yeah.
And another thing was that in the Bible I found that it says that the Jews will rebuild their great temple in the last days, and the Antichrist will go in there and declare he's God. I said, what about this Jewish temple? They want to rebuild their temple right now.
Absolutely.
They want to destroy the Mosque of Omar in Jerusalem. But this will set it up for the Antichrist to go there. And such people, the most famous Assembly of God, that's one of the largest Pentecostal denominations in America, Ogner. He looked at me and he said, oh, no, let's not talk about that. Please don't discuss that at our Bible conference. Now, here's another thing that happened to me, Ogner. I was invited by this same man to Missouri to speak at this big prophecy conference, right? Remember, I was a number one best-selling author. And he had also invited the head of religious affairs from the Israeli embassy to be there, as well as an Israeli general. They were sitting right there in front of me. And so I spoke. What I spoke about was that the nation of Israel has no hope without Jesus. Well, guess what? This was a Christian conference. But the host of it was furious at me. He said, do you not know that you embarrassed our Israeli guest? I said, I embarrassed him by saying that Jesus was the only hope of the world and of Israel? He said, oh, yes. He said, they're so angry at you. And guess what, Ogner? These people, these Israelis who were invited to this Christian conference, were so angry at me, they refused to shake my hand at the end of my talk.
It's all
you see,
about Israel.
Mm-hmm. I had spoken the truth, but even the Christians refused to hear it. Now, I went to another meeting, and I was asked if I could not, when I prayed, they asked me to pray to open up the meeting. And they said, would you please not pray in the name of Jesus? We have some Jewish guests of high rank from Israel, and we don't want to offend them.
That's flabbergasting. At a Christian meeting, you don't mention the name. I find that absolutely insane.
Well, Ogner, this is across the spectrum. Now, I realized then these people were of Satan. They were of the devil.
Yeah.
They had no real love for Jesus Christ. One man who I actually had conducted several prophecy conferences with, Joseph Chambers, who is a large ministry in North Carolina. He's a Dr. Joseph Chambers. He is a Church of God pastor who preaches prophecy. He actually said to, in his, and this is where I split up with him, in his newspaper, he said, when on Judgment Day, when we all stand before God, He will ask you only one question. What did you do about my people Israel? Now, Ogner, I asked this man, I said, you have totally rewritten the whole Bible. The Bible says the only thing that matters is, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? You're saying that the only thing God is interested in is, did you favor some flesh and blood people who live over in Israel? This is blasphemy.
Absolutely.
Well, these people are blasphemous. They put Israel above all nations on earth. They even make Israel into an idol.
Absolutely.
Into an idol of the devil. And I'll tell you something. Everything turned for me because when I saw that these people denied Jesus but professed Israel and Zionism, and also they have a great hatred for the Arab people. I had a friend. His name is Dr. Samuel Gipp. He's written many Christian books. He claims to be an expert on the Bible. I got his newsletter. Guess what he said? He said he was watching television and he saw a Palestinian youth get shot in the head by Israeli defense forces. Right?
Yeah.
He said this Israeli youth, 14 years old, lay down on the concrete and died, blood streaming at his head. Guess what the Baptist evangelist said in his newsletter? He said, good, I want all of the Palestinian youth to take a bullet in the head, lay down, and die.
Wow, amazing, amazing.
His name is Dr. Gipp. I wrote him a letter, and I said, you are a bigot. You're a racist. You're a hater.
Yeah.
You see, is this what Jesus would have done? I believed we were to preach and to love the Arab people, the Palestinians. I mean, it's sort of like you know, the elephant man. If you prick me, do I not bleed?
Yeah.
Do the Palestinians not bleed? Do they not have hearts? Can they not be saved? Does God not love them as much as He loves Jews?
Well,
or any other race? Of course God does.
Okay.
Now, I'll tell you, Ogner, I am a Christian. I have a soft heart for people. I don't hate anyone. I don't want Jews to be harmed. I don't want Palestinians to be harmed. But I could see there was a spirit of hatred and deviltry in the Christian evangelical church. And I said, the little Tex Mars, I may not be powerful. I may not have big denominations about me. But what little bit I can do, I will do to profess Jesus and to fight this Zionist satanic spirit that has totally swallowed up much of the so-called Christian church. And that's really my whole goal, is to expose Zionism, the synagogue of Satan, which the Bible reveals is mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of harlots.
Absolutely.
Well, and Zionism has now enveloped the whole world, Europe, certainly Great Britain, France.
Spain.
America now is totally in the grips. Obama is the first Jewish president, they say. The Jews actually have said that in the Chicago Tribune newspaper.
Absolutely.
The very wealthy billionaire Jews. They said Obama will go down in history as the first Jewish president. This is in the Chicago Tribune newspaper. It was said by Abner Mikva, a corrupt lawyer who was the White House counsel. In my opinion, he's corrupt. A White House counsel under Bill Clinton. And helped, I'm sure, to cover up the Lewinsky sex scandal in the impeachment of Clinton. So, Hogan, I've said a lot, but I wanted people on your audience to know my heart.
That's fine, Texas.
That I'm a Christian who fights for true Christianity and opposes satanic Zionism that is spread throughout the world.
Well, Texas, and, some great comments there. I just like to, I was checking in on the synagogue of Satan. I'd like to read the quote. Now, you won't get many audios of me quoting from the Bible, but you'll get one here.
Okay.
I know your works and tribulations and poverties, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews but are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan, Revelations 2:9. Then we have, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which says they are Jews and are not, but do lie, behold. I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, Revelations 3:9. Which is something I prepared text earlier. I want to talk about, you mentioned the Scofield Bible. You're quoted on the internet as saying that it's more of a kind of a feminist version of the Bible, a Jewified version of the Bible. Now, when I spoke to you last week, text very briefly, I told you I was about 28 or 29 before I even seen my first Bible, which was in outside of New York State when I was doing a job there. And I came from a 99% Catholic country, and now when I look back at it and you see all this, you know, the sex scandals going on, and doing some research, that the Vatican was completely and officially taken over in the early 50s, and there's no question the last Pope was Jewish, that the Catholic Church, their billion supporters have been duped, along with these Christian Zionists that you've been talking about in America, which are the people that apparently put some money behind these politicians. But we know that's a lie. It's the Jews put the money behind the politicians.
That's right, and you're correct about the Vatican and the Catholic Church, because the popes, and the beginning with Pope John in the 60s, but certainly Pope John Paul II and now Pope Benedict are Zionist, and they have abandoned the Christian faith in favor of some kind of a sick, perverted form of Christian Zionism. You know, Cardinal Ratzinger, who is now Pope Benedict,
Pope Ratzinger,
he actually changed the catechism. You know, he was head of the Congregation of the Faith. In other words, the doctrine of the Catholic Church under Pope John Paul II when he was a cardinal. And he was called Cardinal Ratzinger. And they changed the Catholic catechism. And they made it to say that Jews do not need Jesus. They have their own covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So they mocked Pope John Paul II and Cardinal Ratzinger, who is now Pope Benedict, mocked and blasphemed the cross of Jesus by saying that the cross of Jesus means nothing to Jews. They have their own covenant. Of course, if this were true, then why did Peter, who was a citizen of Israel, why was he beaten by the Jews and their Sanhedrin and ordered not to preach Jesus? But Peter said instead, he said, I must obey God and not man. This is in the Bible. He told the Jews, I will preach Jesus.
Yeah.
But of course, the current leaders of the Vatican care nothing about what Peter even said, even though they say that Peter is the founder of the Catholic Church. What he said, saying, I will obey God and not man, and I will continue to preach Jesus. And, you know, the apostles made it very plain, no man can come to God except through Jesus. So Pope John Paul II is just a furious liar, and so is Pope Benedict II. Now, some people say, oh, you're saying that because you're Protestant. No, because I put Pat Robertson, Billy Graham, America's pastor, John Hagee. John Hagee is not even a Christian because he doesn't even believe the Bible. He doesn't even believe that Jews need Jesus.
Very fond of the shekels.
Well, yeah. In fact, he actually started up a rabbi trust under the IRS pastors going to start something called a rabbi trust for retirement. Can you imagine a man, when he retires, he'll have millions of dollars in something called a rabbi trust, and he claims to be a Christian pastor. But Jesus said, call no man rabbi or master, except your Father in heaven. So we shouldn't even call these so-called Jewish clergymen, we shouldn't even call them rabbi. I call them rabbi as a term of derision or scorn, because they certainly weren't rabbi to Jesus. And never once did he call anybody in the Bible. There's never one example of Jesus calling a man rabbi, ever. No. And we should not call these people rabbi. They're scoundrels who blaspheme Jesus and who are nothing but a bunch of racist communists. And that's all that really Israel was. It was founded by David Ben-Gurion, and that's not his real name, was the first prime minister of Israel. And he was very much a devoted Marxist-Leninist terrorist.
Absolutely.
So this is a nation founded by Marxist-Leninist terrorists, the same kind of people who founded Soviet Union communism. And, of course, Lenin, even the Lenin Museum now, has now admitted that Vladimir Lenin was a Jew.
Absolutely.
As was Trotsky.
Yeah. Oh, Trotsky, absolutely. Yeah.
So the horrors of communism, and the murder of probably over 100 million people by communists since 1917, all can be put at the foot of the Jews.
Absolutely.
They are the ones responsible for this horror. But it only makes sense if you understand that communism's most feared foe was Christianity, true Christianity. And, you know, they claim to be atheists, but let me put it this way. No rabbi, you know, the synagogues were protected by the communists, but Christian churches were burned down and turned into whorehouses. But the rabbis were all promoted and became commissars and head of concentration camps.
Yep, absolutely.
Most of the concentration camps were headed by Jews, and a number of the commissars or commandants of the Soviet Gulag camps were rabbis. And this is just a fact. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, one of the greatest historians and consciences of the 20th century, said exactly that in his book, 200 Years Together. A book, by the way, is his last huge history book that no one in the West dares to publish. It's only published in the Russian language. They're afraid of the Jews. They fear the Jews.
Well, Tex, I'd like to get on to an article you posted in April, the end of April, and talk about a little bit about the truth movement, and I'd like to talk about modern-day communism in America under Obama. Certain members of the truth movement allege that Arabs and different groups run America, and you published an article called Jews Rule America, and you gave, you know, 15 concrete reasons to prove that Jews run America. What is, in your opinion, the problem with the truth movement? And I'll get straight to the fact, you know what I'm going to talk about, Alex Jones. You know, I followed Alex Jones, and I probably got into the truth movement through Alex Jones. I seen his little clip last week talking about Zionism. I know you actually married Alex and his wife. You have his little sidekick here, Burmese, who finally is off the air, apparently. Apparently he's only going to do one show a week. Labeling us anti or Jew haters and for pointing out the obvious, and we're talking about 9/11. I mean, 3,000 people got murdered. We're talking about USS Liberty. We're not blaming the Jewish puppet Lyndon Johnson. This lies at the hands of Zionist Jews and Israel. Pick the word that you want to use. What is the problem in the truth movement, specifically text with Alex Jones, when it comes to discussing Zionism? Is it all about the money and the fame and stuff? Is he going to go Hollywood? I've given up on him, and I know him personally. What is the problem with him now? I'm not going to go off. This is one particular guy that I know you know what's going on, Tex. Anyone that's listened to the Power of Prophecy audios, you can get them all over the internet. We know that you know that what's going on. You've been preaching it for years and years, and you know, through some of your audios has helped in my learning of the situation with our current day criminal Zionism. Yet we have the biggest radio head, and we get nothing. We get zero. We get called Jew haters. I don't understand, Tex. Maybe you can enlighten me.
Well, first of all, I want to be real fair to people, and you know, and let me say right away that Alex Jones is a very good friend of mine, and he and I have talked about this particular issue, all right? In fact, very recently we talked about these kinds of issues.
We're talking about Zionism, you know, Tex, Zionism.
Zionism, exactly. Let me just say something. First of all, on his marriage... I was very pleased to officiate at the marriage of Alex and his wife Violet. There has been a misconception on that. It was a Christian marriage, absolutely Christian, and his wife professed Jesus Christ to me. We prayed in the name of Jesus, and the marriage was a very traditional marriage. You know, right out, you know, as you know. The way it always was in Christian churches. So, most definitely, she professes to be a Christian, and I believe she is. She's a very wonderful lady and a very fine mother. I think a lot of information has come out that supposedly that she is Jewish, but that is not true. She is not Jewish. She is a Christian. So, I want people to understand that, first of all, so we sort of put that aside. But, you know, hold anything. If she were Jewish, that would be fine with me, as long as she was not a Zionist. Okay, mm-hmm. there's sometimes a difference, sometimes not. But anyway, she is a Christian. She is not Jewish. Now, Alex Jones, you know, compared to me, I'm an old man. I have to say, I'm about half worn out, Ogner. I don't know how old are you, but I ask you.
42. I'm 42.
42. Oh, well, see, you're a young man compared to me. Now. I have, to be honest with you, I really discovered these things about the Jews probably about the age of 40. All right?
Yeah.
And I progressively, at first I could not believe it because of my background and training. But God continued to reveal these things in the Bible and give me understanding. And then, of course, I went out, and I'm sure I did just like you, Ogner, and you're very knowledgeable as well. And I read hundreds and hundreds of books and articles and such because I wanted to know the truth. Yeah. Now, I believe Alex Jones is discovering the truth on these things. And I do see his website, Infowars.com, more and more he has been exposing Zionism. Now, he's maybe not an Ogner or a Tex Morris, I don't necessarily require people to be as anti-Zionist as Tex and Ogner. I believe in his own good time. It's been my experience, if a man is truly a truth seeker, he wants to know the truth, I believe eventually he will discover these things. And then, Ogner, will come the question, do you have the courage to reveal the truth? Or will you bow down to the Zionist masters and lick their boots? That really is the key here. Now, I think as time goes on, I expect Alex Jones to do more and more in this area. That's my opinion. I've already seen a number of things that he's done exposing the Zionists and talking about... I noticed one time I was listening to him and he was talking about how Israel wants America to invade Iran, and it would be a futile, unnecessary war. So he's not promoting some Zionist agenda. Now, you know, again, let's look at it. He certainly is doing a terrific job at exposing the police state.
Absolutely.
In America, and Obama as well as Bush, and American imperialism. And the drive to take away our, in America at least, our constitutional liberties and freedoms. He's doing a great job in there. I would be very careful about, blasting a guy who has done so much good. I say this, let's just wait and see what happens here. I don't think Alex Jones could be accused of being a coward. I do not believe he is. And let me say something else. I knew Alex many years ago when he started, and he wasn't paid any money by anybody. He was on cable TV access here in Austin, Texas, where they let you on free. And he had so many enemies. I mean, you know, one guy was so angry at Alex, he attacked him in the parking lot outside the TV studio. So I really feel like Alex Jones will do the right thing. I think he is a man of courage. But if right now he doesn't go as far as you and me, I understand that. Let's just see what happens in the future.
Well, we'll see. If you look at his forums text, you'll see that a lot of the posts are about, you know, Israeli involvement. But you brought up something. I'd just like to nail it down, and then we'll move on to the next subject, which I do have a subject to go on to next. You said Alex Jones's wife is a Christian, which is no problem. But the question is on the internet is not that. It's got to do with the right of return. Was she born Jewish? And that was the question that's posed on the internet because of all these criminal Jews. And I'm not saying Alex's wife is or isn't. I'm absolutely not saying that. I'm just saying with all the shenanigans going on, the question on the internet was, if she was born Jewish, she can say she's converted, you know, be anything she wants, and then eventually go back. That's what the question is on the internet. Was she born Jewish? A lot of people are posting, I don't know, anything is possible. You said she's a good wife and a good mother. You know, that's good. The question is, was she born Jewish? And you can give me a yes or no, and we'll move on to the next subject, and somebody else can get into it.
Sure. As far as I know, Alex and I, this is before all these questions came up, Ogner, this is very interesting to you, but I think she's more Irish-American than anything else. Okay. I don't think she has any Jewish blood in her.
There's a lot of disinformation. I'll take that. That is, if that's your honest answer, I'll move on.
Yeah, it's my honest answer. But, you know, I haven't had her take a DNA test. But I believe she's pretty much sort of a, we call it in America, you know, Heinz 57 person.
Yeah.
But actually, and discussing just casually, with Alex, I believe she, you know, he said she's basically Irish. And she looks it too, by the way. She looks very Irish. If you saw her, she doesn't look Jewish at all.
Well,
I can tell you that. And her kids don't either. Of course, Alex is not. I've met Alex's parents, by the way, his dad and mom. They were at the wedding. They were very pleasant people, and his father is a very fine Christian man. Here again, you know, I'm not saying Alex Jones is perfect. I sometimes wish he would do more on the Zionist issue, and I pray that he will. But I think more and more, as a man like Alex, remember now, Alex is young. I think he's only, what, 31, 32?
He's younger than I am, that I know.
Yeah, he's quite a phenomenon. He studies, he works 16 hours a day studying these things. And more he's discovering Zionism. And I think he does see it as a tremendous enemy to freedom. So, you know what? I have many friends who are sort of like, if you put them like on a step ladder of knowledge in these areas, you know, they're at different levels. But every day, and Ogner, I know you have awakened so many people. And I've had people who write to me and say, Tex, just a couple of years ago, I thought you were just a bigot and an anti-Semite. And I didn't, you know, I could not understand what you were talking about. But now I've studied on my own. Now I understand. And I think, you know, again, if a person has the courage, but now many people at that point, they get scared. They find out the truth and it shakes them up. Alex has shown a lot of courage in the past, so I'm willing to give everybody, you know, an opportunity, because I know one thing. If you had come to me, Ogner, 20 years ago and told me these things about Israel and Zionism, I would have just sort of scratched my head and said, I don't know if those things are true. I'll have to check it out.
Well,
but now I know it is true.
Yeah, it is true. So even then,
you know, and I was 45 at the time before I truly began to discover these horrors and how we were lied to and how history was bogus and bunk. And how, you know, it takes a man who really studies and works hard to ferret out the truth, because the media are controlled by Zionist interests, as you know.
Absolutely. But then, you know, that goes up again. Last comment on Asia, and we'll move on. I really don't want to spend too much time talking about Asia. I bitch at them enough. Arabs own Hollywood. That puts things out. Anyway, I've done with AJ. Currently, we have some boats that have left Cyprus. They're trying to bring aid to the poor people of Gaza who got holocausted basically with white phosphorus and dime weapons and DU over the Christmas New Year period. On this boat we have Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, which I've interviewed a couple of times, and the Israelis are currently jamming their signal, jamming GPS, jamming telephone, and they said they'll shoot them if they keep going on. Apparently the latest news is they're 24 miles from a town in Gaza. We have a situation in America that is, for me, you know, I'm looking in on America. It is completely Jewified, Zionified, the whole place with, you know, Rahm Emanuel and all these different who's been fairly quiet, although he's admitted he does, you know, talk to Israel when he makes any, just tells what Obama what to do. You mentioned earlier about Obama being the first Chicago Jewish president. Now you mentioned a particular character. I've seen on videos, you can get it on YouTube, of Jewish Zionist, pro-Zionist meetings in Chicago discussing Obama as being, you know, the first Jewish president. And we have financial shenanigans going on. We seem to be over it, which is complete nonsense. So, we had a big credit bubble, and we're going to solve it by inventing more money from these Jewish bankers, these central bankers. So, how can we help, you know, the people of Palestine? How can we help the people of my own country, Ireland, vote no against the Lisbon Treaty, which will give the power in Europe to the Zionists, which they have already in America? Tex, if we look back in America, which is completely controlled, I mean, Cynthia McKinney said only 99% of Congress and the Senate work for the Jews and for Israel. And for
only 99%. Oh my! Well, Congressman McKinney is absolutely right. She's been very bold and courageous, by the way, as you know. Well, Jewified, of course. You know, America
is. You can't even say. And you were talking earlier about. I'd like to ask you a question, Tex. You're a little bit older than I am, and I met a Christian guy. He's the father. He's from Boston. In Massachusetts, and he was over in Switzerland seeing his son. Now, his son was about 10 years in his 50s, so his father must have been well into his 70s, maybe into the early 80s, but very, very lucid. And my buddy had said to me, oh, wait till you meet my father. He knows about the Zionists and the Jews. So I eventually met him. And it came up about numbers, and they were saying, you know, this the Holocaust famous number that we can't apparently talk about. The numbers were different in the 50s and 60s. What happened, you know, with the influx of these red commies from Russia, which is a completely Jewish movement, Marxist, Leninist, that took control of all the different movements. In your opinion, Tex, looking back on history, what was the biggest year in history that we've missed, that they actually started, the real takeover started? I mean, 1913, the Zionists got control of the money system. But, you know, in the intervening years in your research, and I know you've read, you know, gazillion books and articles and made thousands of audios, and you have your own show which I've downloaded and I often listen to. Since 1913 up until September 11, when the Zionists killed 3,000 Americans, what would be the years that you would pick out that people don't think about?
Well, you know, you did mention 1913. it was really with the election in 1912 of President Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah.
Wilson was a wicked man who was having an affair with a woman. He was a university president, Princeton University. The Jews, who keep blackmail dossiers on American politicians, knew of this. They made him the governor of New Jersey, I believe it was. And of course, they had this dirt on him, this blackmail dossier. Then when he became president, they installed a man called Colonel. It was a fake colonel. He wasn't even a colonel. Colonel E. Mandel House. Ran the White House. He had his office in the White House, and his name is House. He was a member of the Illuminati. I actually was able to obtain a copy of the actual certificate. They had an order of the Illuminati in the United States. Some people think it died with Adam Weishaupt back in the 18th century, but Colonel House was a member of the Order of the Illuminati. He was a Rothschild agent in the United States, and he told Woodrow Wilson what to do. Now, the three things that Wilson was ordered to do and was forced to do because of this dirt blackmail they had on him was that in 1913, he got Congress to pass the Federal Reserve Act that created a central bank. A central bank, the Fed Reserve, that now is the most powerful central bank in the world, along with the International Bank of Settlements, perhaps, in Basel, Switzerland. So this was the beginning of the Fed Reserve System and the private ownership by Jewish banks of the American financial and banking system, and that spread over the whole world. And it linked up, of course, with Great Britain's, the City of London, in its Rothschild banks. Now, Hombros and all the others there. Now, at the same time, that same year, the first income tax and the IRS, Internal Revenue Service, was passed. Until that time, we had no income tax, and therefore, the federal government, the American government, was not able to be imperialist on behalf of Zionist causes, and we were not able then to go around the world and finally to found Israel. But I believe that was the key year. And then, of course, in 1913, war broke out, World War One in Europe. We had no part in that war, but the Jews, Colonel House, working with President Wilson, faked the bombing of one of our ships, Lusitania. That whole thing was a setup, sort of like 9/11, and it infuriated Americans. We blamed Germany for sinking one of our ships, and so it took a year after the ship was sunk, but finally he got Congress to declare war. And of course, at the end of that war was the Balfour Agreement.
Absolutely.
That guaranteed Israel eventually they would have their own state. If you want to name another year, I think it was 1948. Let me tell you what happened in 1948, Ogner. We had a president, a 33rd degree Mason, Freemason, named Harry S. Truman. Harry Truman had become president when Roosevelt died. He was totally beholden to the Jews. In fact, they had made him he was a farm boy, but they had made him a politician and a senator from the state of Missouri. He was totally unqualified, had no college training at all. He was an idiot of the first order. They made him vice president under Roosevelt because they knew he was a high-level Mason, and he would do whatever the Jews told him to do. In fact, back in Missouri, he had gone into business with a Jewish businessman but had gone bankrupt. And so that just shows you there.
Sounds like a bit like idiot George Bush, saying wasn't qualified for anything. The few businesses he was involved in went bankrupt as well. Same old history repeating itself, Tex.
That's right. Now, in 1948, Truman, who had become president only at the death of the president, he was vice president, and so Roosevelt died and he became president. He wanted to run on his own to be president, but he was very, very unpopular. Nobody really wanted him, and he didn't really have the money even to run. You know, even though he was vice president, everybody knew he was going to lose. But then something happened. He had a campaign train. He campaigned by train, and he would go from, you know, city to city on these whistle stops.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And according to Gore Vidal, you know, the famous novelist?
Yep.
Gore Vidal says that President John F. Kennedy, actually related to him this true story. Now, I think John F. Kennedy knew, right? He was president of the United States, and he had privy to top-secret information. He said that in 1948, Harry Truman, way behind in the opinion polls, needed money to buy advertising and to run a campaign, and he couldn't get the big rich people to give him enough money. And then a man named Bernard Baruch, Jewish financier, the most powerful Jewish billionaire in America, came on his train and gave him a suitcase with $2 million cash bribe. He bribed him. $2 million cash. And that is exactly why Truman then, against the advice of his cabinet, against the advice of Congress, he then rushed through Israel's nationhood in the United Nations. That's how they became a nation. So I think probably the second key year then of treachery and Zionism in America was when Truman in 1948 was given a $2 million bribe by Bernard Baruch, the Jewish financier from Manhattan, New York, and then he made an executive order and made Israel a nation. Now, it's interesting that within, I think it was 2 or 3 minutes, Joseph Stalin in the Soviet Union, the communist empire, also approved the same thing. So this was very closely coordinated.
Absolutely.
Between the Jewish communists in America who controlled Truman and the Jewish communists in the Soviet Union who controlled Stalin. And so that Stalin and Truman worked together, and both of them, their ambassadors, went before the United Nations within minutes of each other. Each of those countries had already given nationhood status to Israel. That was 1948, so that both the Soviet Union and the United States were allies in making Israel a nation. And of course, the Jews then flooded in, the Irgun and the other terrorist gangs, the Jews flooded into Palestine, a nation that only had about 800,000 Palestinians and probably no more than 50,000 Jews previously. They were funded by America, the Jews, and they were armed by the Soviet Union and had, you know, Kalashnikovs and the other machine guns and so forth. So it was the United States and the communist in the United States, communist in Russia, with Truman and Stalin working as a team to make Israel a nation. That was 1948. So I think that was when they really
Absolutely.
Gained power. Now, the Jews, though, had some setbacks under Eisenhower and Nixon and Kennedy. They lost their grip. Bernard Baruch died, and they didn't really have the power under Eisenhower and especially Kennedy and Nixon. Now, of course, they couldn't do anything against Eisenhower, but they managed to kill John F. Kennedy. I believe the Mossad, Israeli Mossad, had the key role.
Yep.
And then as far as Nixon, the Jewish press, the Washington Post, the New York Times, working with a Jew named Mark Felt, who was the deputy director of the FBI, they all teamed up. He was called Deep Throat, Mark Felt was.
Yeah.
And they all teamed up with the Watergate thing to destroy and force the resignation of Nixon, who they greatly feared. They hated Eisenhower. They hated Kennedy. They hated Nixon. You remember that Eisenhower, who was thought of as a total Zionist slave, in the end, he had some guts about him, and when Israel, France, and Britain invaded Egypt and took over, you know, the land down there in the Sinai Desert and everything.
Sinai, yeah.
I think that was 56. Eisenhower came out and spoke to the world's press, and he demanded that Israel, France, and Britain withdraw their troops. And he basically said, this will not stand, and he called Israel the aggressor. Boy, were they ever furious. But he insisted, and America was such a power at the time, and Eisenhower was a five-star general. They were afraid of him, and they couldn't believe that Eisenhower had gone against them. But, of course, it was too late. Eisenhower was already, you know, in his beginning his second term, and he knew they couldn't do anything against him then. And I believe when he, Ogner, when Eisenhower left office, he gave a farewell address. And I think he used very, very careful code words. Remember, he warned against the unwarranted influence of the military-industrial complex.
Absolutely, absolutely. Very easily found on the internet. Go ahead, Tex, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, you can find it on the internet. And look at the farewell address of Eisenhower. And he said that the freedoms and liberties of Americans were in great jeopardy because of this military-industrial complex. And what he really meant by that was that the military-industrial complex, these corporations that made arms and armaments, had begun to serve Israel's interests rather than the United States. He also obviously knew that someone in working in the American military system had given Israel our nuclear bomb secrets. Just as American spies, Jewish spies, and traitors gave the Soviet Union the nuclear bomb, so they gave Israel the nuclear bomb. So we had a... Because the Soviet Union was basically a Jewish-run country, right. And Israel was a Jewish communist country as well. So that they both, the spies in America, you know, Oppenheimer, who headed up the Jewish scientists who headed up the atomic bomb project in New Mexico called Project Manhattan. It was named Project Manhattan because Bernard Baruch, that same financier that given a $2 million bribe to Truman, he lived in Manhattan, and he and the other Jews got together and approached Truman about the atomic bomb, dropping the atomic bomb and all of those things. And they had already approached FDR about developing it under Project Manhattan. So Project Manhattan basically was a Jewish project, and they hoped to use the bomb to give it to Russia and to Israel, and they actually hoped to take over the world through communism with the nuclear bomb.
Well, Tex, we're not far from communism with Obama. I mean, the government are you know, the government motors, they're making cars now. They're running, you know, taking over all these credit facilities and banks and stuff. Besides, the Rothschild banks seem to be, you know, going beyond that. But, I mean, this is a sneaky way of getting communism into America. A lot of people are waking up to it, Tex. But, I mean, we have a big problem is that we have the District of Criminals of Washington, D.C. Tex, you know, it's amazing for me being on the outside to see such Zionist Jewish control of the government. And there are a few of us out here, you've been preaching this for years and years, and our buddy Daryl and Piper and lots of other people, and people are not waking up. Tex, we're getting down near the end of the show here. What can we do? Consider me an American. Consider me a citizen of the world. What can we do, in your opinion, to get the word out a little bit faster? And that's maybe my frustration with Alex is this. You know, wait and wait. It's coming. It's coming. We have the current situation with Iran, that you know, obvious Israeli American influence on the elections, and this girl that got shot now, apparently, you know, more fakes and more fake photos and the Twitters, and they're looking for World War III starting with Iran. As you mentioned, they used the bomb in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and that brought pleasure to these insane criminals, and which that's point to what they are, which is insane criminals, and that they will nuke other people. What do we have to do to wake people up faster to Zionism, to stop World War III, stop the collapse of America, if that can possibly be stopped? What would you say, Texas, what message would you like of encouragement? Because I'm a doom and gloomer at the moment, very pessimistic about our chances, and kind of, you know, think of the worst case scenario and work up from it. What would you say to you know, people coming into the movement? You know, we had millions and millions of people that came into the 9/11 movement. Ron Paul kind of kicked us in the ass on that one, and let us all down on Fox News, and, you know, he wants to audit the Federal Reserve, you know, waste more time in my opinion. What do we need? We're only going to get, you know, if we go back to the War of Independence in America, it was a very, very small percentage of real Americans that stood up to the Jews, I mean to the British Jews in the city of London that orchestrated and financed the war. What can we do to encourage people to really look into Zionism and get active? I think the word is get more people active.
Well, Oatner, I think we're doing it. I think we are making a difference. And you are right. You know, a majority of people have never changed the world. It's always been a minority. And we are a great, great minority. But it's amazing to me, the letters that I get, the emails, people come up to me, and yes, your radio program is changing things. We are telling the truth, and the truth, you know, it was Solzhenitsyn, we discussed him earlier, who said, one word of truth outweighs the whole world. So we should never look in the mirror and say, oh, woe is us, we're not making a difference. You would be utterly surprised at the difference you are making. For example, I read about you. I saw people said, Tex, get this radio program by Oatner. I didn't know who you were, but, you know, a while back, people started talking about Oatner. People are getting the message. We are making a difference. Now, is it too late? It may be, but you know what? I mean, I'm one of those guys, you know, I'm a footballer. I mean, I'm not a footballer myself, but I used to be. And hey, so you're behind. So it's the last quarter, the last period. Give it your all. Miracles do happen. We have a God. And truth is king. And I'm not worried about it. I'm going to fight until the very end. I mean, when they drag me away, I'm going to be fighting them and telling everybody the truth. And the thing to do is don't fall into their hands by doing something evil. You know, certainly don't bomb. Don't kill people. Tell the truth. Truth is more important than bombs. Yeah. Truth is more powerful than bombs.
Don't go towards any museums in Washington with rifles and stuff.
That's right.
I think they're called knuckleheads that are going out there. My personal struggle isn't against every Jewish person. I'm against criminals. A lot of them happen to be Jewish that are running the world. Zionists, and we need to. Tex, maybe it's my own frustration. You know, I'd like to, you know, do another two shows, and that's me finished, and we get the world back. And maybe it's, I need to prepare myself that this is going to be a long struggle. Or, you know, when we come out on the other side, if America does collapse, that we have to make sure these people don't come out on the other side smelling of roses and with a complete police grid. Which I wanted to actually talk to you about. Tex, in America, we're tasering old ladies, and the cops seem to be completely oblivious. Who their controllers are. They're, you know, this tasering of old people and young people and anybody, it seems to be the first reaction when you get this, meet the first level on the grid, if I may say so, is cameras everywhere, and you know, if you protest something, you're a tax protester, you're a low level criminal, a low level terrorist. They're making new laws. Obama now is getting, we don't even know what laws are going on to these past. He can knock off radio people like yourself. for no reason, lock you away, send you to Guantanamo or to one of these probably worse places, or these prison boats that we don't know too much about. We know they exist, and there are several thousand people being held. I just, you know, like it to be over, and I think I need to prepare myself that this is going to go on for quite a while, and maybe we are making a difference. I know the numbers are up and people are waking up, and it's good to see on several forums that people are asking the question, how come Israel can murder 1,500 grandmothers and mothers and kids and guys and get completely away with it, and 6 months later we've forgotten about it?
But, you know, consider this, though. You know, they are the sickness, and we are the antibiotic, you might say. we are the cure for them. And right now they may be ravaging the body of the whole world, especially the United States and Europe.
Parasites.
But now comes the medicine. We are the medicine. We are the cure. And, you know, you start off, I've had the pneumonia before, and I had to have antibiotics, you know, penicillin and such. Yeah. And that cured me. So just that little shot in the arm, my whole body was racked, you know. My lungs were full of gunk. But I was cured by that medicine. And we are the medicine. And we have the truth. And I still say it's very, very powerful. And yes, I too am gloomy and doomy, but on the other hand, I smile every day, because these people, they're in real trouble. You know, the Bible says it. If you sow the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. They have sowed the wind, Ogner, and now they're going to reap the whirlwind, and we will see how soon, someday, they all fall. They shrink and fall. We will be amazed someday to see them totally destroyed. And I believe that. I'm convinced of it. Well, it will be an amazement when the whole world sees them totally destroyed in 1 hour. I'm convinced of that.
Well, if we can get a billion Christians to read several sections of the Bible, it would definitely help us out. The Muslims seem to be aware of it. Tex, we've gone past the hour here. We said we'd do an hour for the first show. You'd be absolutely more than welcome to come back on in future periods. It's taken me I've been recording now for 2 or 3 years to get you on. You're one of the only people on the internet that I've been, you know, looked into. Nobody's called you anything. No one besides the Jewish media, but they don't pay any attention. That you're a true truth seeker. Being a man of the cloth is no. I'm not a very religious person, but I take into consideration all religions, all colors, all creeds. They're not the people I fight against. Are the criminals leading from Rothschild and his banking and his control of the money down to his henchmen, his politicians that are all bought and paid for, you know, with the little videotapes of young boys and stuff like that. We've enough scandals that have been tried to be covered up. So I'm looking forward to having you on, Tex, for, you know, part 2 and part 19 and over the next couple of years as we struggle down this path of trying to stop Zionism. I'll leave you the last word, Tex. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. You're a great guest. I knew you would be, Tex. My pleasure.
Ogner, thank you very much. And I'll tell you something. You're doing a great job for truth. Please keep it up. And I hope people out there will support you financially and with prayers. And I would like for maybe in the next few weeks my assistant to call you, and if you would be so, we would be so pleased and honored if you would be on my radio program as well, so we can continue this discussion and continue unmasking these evil forces. So thanks again.
Absolutely, Tex. Whenever you want to get Michelle, very nice lady, to contact me. She has my email and numbers and stuff. So, Tex, this has been a pleasure. Quick hour. I know you're very busy and you have stuff to do. I need to feed dogs and walk dogs and stuff, and I get on with it. It's about 10 past 7 Central European time, about 10 past midday your time. Tex, I'll talk to you very, very soon.
All right. Thank you, my friend.